Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says he's open to alternative solutions to the concrete levy. Meanwhile, clashes between Leo Varadkar and Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty have resumed just 2 weeks into the new Dáil term. A Donegal County Councillor fears a rates revaluation will close businesses. And the Agriculture and Marine Minister has heard pleas for him to stand up for his community and provide emergency supports for the fishing industry. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Kenny Harkin, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news though, the Taoiseach says he's open to alternative solutions to the concrete levy. It's after a number of government TDs criticised the measure, which was announced in the budget earlier this week. The 10% levy on concrete blocks has yet to be legislated for, and Leo Varadkar said it was important they get it right. Fellow Fine Gael Minister Simon Harris says the levy was deemed the best option for financing defective block repairs.
We also want to support people in Donegal and other counties who've been affected by mica, who've literally watched their homes crumble. We know there's an issue around defective apartments, and there's likely to be a hefty bill associated with that as well. And this is a question about how do you best pay for that. And in the words of my colleague, the Taoiseach, this was deemed to be the least worst option.
Clashes, meanwhile, between Leo Varadkar and Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty have resumed just 2 weeks into the new Dáil term. Deputy Doherty told the Taoiseach that lengthy waiting lists for children awaiting assessment by a disability team is worsening, as 17,000 children await an appointment, with 2,500 overdue an assessment of needs. He says children are being failed by a dire system which is unable to meet their needs. Leo Varadkar did admit that the system needs to be looked at. A row then broke out between the pair at the end of the Dáil exchange.
What these parents want is a plan. And unfortunately, what you have in your government is a minister that isn't forward planning. We have a third of all positions in disability service that are vacant, yet there is no plan in the budget to actually deal with this. Minister, your government were brought to court by these families and found that you were breaking the law in relation to assessments of needs. That's how dire it's got. And you're talking now about maybe we need a different approach. Of course we need a different approach. What we really need is a different government that will actually put these children first and foremost. And for people who are desperately out there, who don't have the supports, who have children that are going through, like Oshna, their entire primary education, without that assessment of needs, without that support, this week being given for the first time a booklet to say what is autism. It is a disgrace.
It is something we accept as a problem. It's something we're working on. We are providing substantial additional financial resources. There are challenges though. Challenges recruiting and retaining staff, which you mentioned, which are by no means unique to this country, and also challenges in getting the systems right. I think it's disappointing though, Deputy, that you used your time to only come up with one solution to this problem, and that is you being in government. It's disappointing that it does seem to be your approach to anything, rather than coming up with a solution or ideas, detailing them, setting out what you would actually do. The solution is just you.
It's pretty narcissistic.
The EU Commission has taken further legal action against Ireland for failing to halt the cutting of peat within special areas of conservation. It's calling on Ireland to stop the ongoing cutting of peat in areas designated to conserve raised bogs and blanket bogs under the EU Habitats Directive. The Commission says peat and turf cutting activities in these areas are still ongoing, and enforcement action by the Irish authorities appears to have stalled. Ireland now has 2 months to respond to the Commission's latest legal proceedings, otherwise it may decide to refer Ireland to the EU Court of Justice. Adalbert Jans is a spokesperson for the Commission.
It is extremely important to protect bogs in Ireland because they are biodiversity havens where many of important species of insects and birds have their homes in Ireland, and destroying them would have a very significant effect on them. And moreover, peat bogs are an extremely important carbon sink.
A Donegal County Councillor fears a rates revaluation will close businesses. Businesses across the county have begun receiving revised rate valuation packs from the council this week. Councillor Michael McLafferty believes the vast majority of them will see their rates bill increase. He says this is the first new valuation programme for 10 years and coming at a time of increased pressure for businesses. Councillor McLafferty says it's important that people engage in the process. He says officials are in place to assist with any queries.
Most people will have their packs today, if not all people, according to the way it's been sent out. And their packs, I believe, for most anyway, will be increased. This is going to be huge pressure on local businesses, on local commercial premises. I'm hearing already, they're already asking for thousands more in small towns here that people cannot afford. Business people are telling me they can't afford this.
We're hearing anecdotally about people getting demands for thousands more on the electricity bill, and I suppose the last thing they need right now is an increased rate bill from the council as well.
Be honest about it here, not scaremongering, but we have to put hand in heart here as well. I would be conscious of myself as well as the other colleagues would be here in the Glenties area as well. This last 6 weeks, 2 months, what we've been hearing on the ground from businesses, things keep on going, electricity-wise and so on, that unfortunately some small businesses that may be here today will not be here after Christmas or before Christmas leading up to it, because they simply can't deal with the electricity, the bills, the heating cost and so on.
The council are inviting people to come to meet with officials and have conversations, and it's important from your point of view that those conversations do take place.
It's been stressed highly just from the council, from the clerical staff there to get people to engage, so I would stress that very much so as well, because obviously knowing we as council, we don't have the advice that these people may be asking for. The avenue is the officials that will be in the various MD offices. They are the ones that can tell you 100% what is happening or what's not happening, and concerns and queries are better directed at them.
A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the Agriculture and Marine Minister to stand up for his community and provide emergency supports for the fishing industry. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin told The Dáil that he has struggled to get his head around why the budget did not include an emergency financial aid package to address the fuel crisis in the fishing sector. The rising cost of fuel, Brexit and issues with fishing quotas is having a detrimental impact on the fishing industry. Deputy McLaughlin says this is an unprecedented crisis and it's not too late to provide the essential funding.
I have to say, Minister, I'm genuinely shocked that there wasn't a rescue package announced in the budget for our fishing industry. I can't figure it out for the life of me. You've put out a statement from your officials that is utter spin. You announce a record investment in coastal communities, and you know that about two-thirds of that is European Brexit funding to compensate for the loss of quota. So you're actually dropping investment from the central exchequer into fishing and coastal communities. You've refused to provide an emergency budget for fishermen. Every single fishing organisation, every seafood organisation in this state has united together to say this is an unprecedented crisis. It's been one thing after another in terms of the lack of quota, in terms of Brexit, and now this fuel crisis. And Minister, I'm taking this opportunity to again appeal to you to please, please put together an emergency package. In our alternative budget, we outlined that you could use the European funds that are there. You could use central exchequer funding. I mean, I can't for the life of me, I'm going to say, Minister, you're from a community like I am that's surrounded by water, that's surrounded by fishing communities. This is something you should know instinctively. You've met these people face to face. You've seen the colour of their eyes. You know the issue. So I'm appealing to you to please, please, if it's your officials, whoever's blocking this, please stand up for your communities. Please make sure that there's an emergency financial package to bail out our fishing and coastal communities.
The Taoiseach has described a report into the handling of 999 calls by Gardaí as extremely worrying. An independent review identified numerous failings in Garda Síochána's handling of emergency calls, including many being cancelled. More than 3,000 of the calls cancelled related to domestic violence. Micheál Martin says it's a serious issue.
I think the public must have complete confidence in that system, that when they ring a 999 call that they get an immediate and appropriate response, because obviously in the vast, vast majority of cases people ring that number when they are in distress and in need of support. Now, I've no doubt that the Commissioner will be going before the Policing Authority and indeed the relevant Oireachtas Committee as well to account for that and to outline the steps that the An Garda Síochána are taking.
A Mount Charles GP says a GP card extension will be useful to some people, but long waiting lists for referrals will continue to delay medical care. People who earn the median household income of €46,000 or less will be eligible for a free GP card under a new budget measure. However, Dr. Maria Moy says despite being in receipt of the card, those who need onward referral will have to join a waiting list unless they have health insurance. She says the money could have been spent on making further health services more accessible.
The main problem is when we have done what we can or the problems are not what we can deal with, the onward referral, there's huge problems with that. And increasingly, we are just seeing that there's nearly no point. Like I asked people, that's part of the letter I'd written to the Times, do you have any health insurance? I hate having to ask that question, but it nearly is. It's kind of essential at this point.
Because it's an indictment on the public health system, really, having to ask the question so frequently.
Yeah, and it is just because there's no point in me sitting with somebody ahead of me and saying, yeah, you need to see, you know, for example, an ENT or an orthopaedic, you know, specialist for that. That's great, I'll refer you, see you later. And I know full well that list could be 4 years. That's not good on my, how can I sort of think that that's my job done? It's not, you know, and we need to try and address this. I think I would have preferred to see, for example, money spent on other things. Another big thing, there are people with musculoskeletal, maybe joint pain, waiting to see, maybe waiting on joint replaced. But if they had better access to physio, we do have some physios, but again, they're under a lot of pressure. The lists are very long, but having some more access, those type of things that people could do even in the meantime, just investing in the service. There's no point in having loads of people have access to a service, but the service isn't.
You also
handle them.
Almost €1 million has been allocated to Donegal County Council for 5 projects under the Shared Island Local Authority Development Fund. Each of the projects sees the local authority work with the council north of the border, 3 of them with Derry City and Strabane District Council, and 2 with Fermanagh and Omagh. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The 3 initiatives being run with Derry City and Strabane District Council are a feasibility study into a cross-border exemplar decarbonised public transportation project to promote carbon neutral journeys in Donegal and Derry, a north-west regulatory technology cluster, and a feasibility study into the development of the Slieve-Columbkill pilgrimage route. The 2 projects involving Fermanagh and Omagh are a feasibility study into cross-border innovation plazas in Ballyshannon and Irvinstown and a cross-border tourism regeneration project along the Donegal-Fermanagh rural border region. The 5 projects to be advanced in the next 12 months will receive a total of €976,000. Minister Charlie McConnellogh says the Shared Island project is vitally important in fostering partnerships throughout the island. He added the 5 projects in Donegal are an example of what can be achieved when groups and bodies work together positively for all the people in our cross-border counties.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with Gaelic games in Donegal, stalwart Neil Magee has announced his inter-county retirement. The All-Ireland winner and All-Star fullback confirmed his decision with the Donegal News just weeks before his 37th birthday. His career ends with a record 195 appearances for Donegal alongside 5 Ulster Championship medals and the All-Ireland medal from 2012. Neil made his competitive debut against Fermanagh in the McKenna Cup in 2005. In boxing, Matthew McCall fights for a medal at the University World Cup Combat Sports event in Turkey today. Having navigated his way through the quarterfinals yesterday, winning a win today would guarantee the Illy's Golden Glove Man's a silver medal at the very least. Also tonight, Illy's Ciathair Gormley and Twin Towns Jack Rowland will fight for Ulster glory. Both are set for ring action in the finals night of the Ulster Senior and Novice Championship at the Dockers Club in Belfast. In other boxing news, Anthony Joshua's promoter Eddie Hearn has told Tyson Fury to stop setting unrealistic deadlines and allow negotiations over a fight between the two boxers to continue. Heavyweight world champion Fury has given his fellow British fighter until the end of today to sign a contract. In golf, Rory McIlroy shot a 4-under par round of 68 at Carnoustie on the opening day of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Playing the same course, Shane Lowry opened with a 2-under par round of 70. Patrick Harrington and Jonathan Caldwell are both currently 3-under par at Carnoustie and King's Barons respectively. Frenchman Romain Lengasque, he's tied the course record at St Andrews, shooting an 11-under par round of 61 to hold the clubhouse lead. And Seamus Power's level par through his first 7 holes at the Sanderson Fire Farms Championship on the PGA Tour. Germany's Stefan Jäger leads the way on 4 under par. In rugby, Bundy Aki will miss the first two tests of Ireland's summer or autumn series, having been handed an 8-game ban. The Connacht centre was red carded for a dangerous challenge on Stormers wing Sabalo Sanata. Aki's actions were rated at the top end of the disciplinary scale due to his confrontation with the match referee after the card. He'll miss Ireland's games with South Africa and Fiji, but could feature against Australia if he completes a head contact coaching course. And the IRFU said it would be inappropriate to directly comment on the legal action taken by three former players. David Corkery, Declan Fitzpatrick and Ben Marshall have lodged proceedings in the High Court against the Union, World Rugby and their respective former provinces. It's believed their cases are related to brain injuries sustained during their playing days. The IRFU say that cases will be handled by their insurers while highlighting the importance of player welfare. David Hawkshaw will make his first Connacht start in tomorrow's game with Vodacom Bulls in Pretoria. He's replacing Conor Fitzgerald in one of 7 changes from last week's defeat to the Stormers. And Jonathan Sexton could make his first appearance of the season in Leinster's URC meeting with Ulster tomorrow night. He's been named on the bench for the game at Kingspan Stadium. Ross Byrne and Jack Conan come into the starting 15 for Kieran Frawley and Keelan Dorris. Ulster make just 1 change from their win over Scarlets, with Tom O'Toole replacing Marty Moore at tight head. In soccer, Arsenal midfielder Emile Smith-Rowe will be out of action until at least December, having had surgery on a groin problem. The Premier League club say he's been experiencing discomfort in recent months and suffered a significant setback against Manchester United a couple of weeks ago. They've reported the operation to repair the damaged tendon was successful. In snooker, 2 Antrim men are in second round action in the British Open this afternoon. Mark Allen leads Gary Wilson by 3-1, while Jordan Brown and Yan Bing Tao, they're level at 3 frames apiece. It's the first of 4 there to get into the next round. Finally, for this evening, on the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news, we'll hear from Gavin Cullen talking about League of Ireland football. Alex McDonald takes a look at the North West rugby. We'll hear from managers Desi Geller and Paddy J. McGinley ahead of the Donegal Intermediate Final between Dunlow and Naif Columba. If you can't wait for those interviews, they're available on our website, highlandradio.com. Also tonight on the score, Tom Comack will have Donegal Senior Men and Ladies and Derry Championship previews. That's all after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, dry with a mix of clear spells and scatter cloud this evening. Dry at first tonight, but outbreaks of rain will spread with lowest temperatures of 6 to 10 degrees. A Sanish yellow rain and wind warning will come into place at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. And the closing headlines this evening, clashes between the Taoiseach and Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty have resumed just 2 weeks into the new Dáil term. Deputy Doherty told Leo Radker that lengthy waiting lists for children awaiting assessment by a disability team is worsening, as 17,000 children await an appointment, with 2,500 overdue an assessment of needs. A Donegal County Council fears a rates revaluation will close businesses. Businesses across the county have begun receiving revised rate valuation packs from the council this week. Councillor Michael McClafferty believes the vast majority of them will see their rates bill increase. A Donegal deputy has pleaded with the Agriculture and Marine Minister to stand up for his community and provide emergency supports for the fishing industry. Deputy Padraig McLaughlin told the Dáil that he has struggled to get his head around why the budget did not include an emergency financial aid package to address the fuel crisis in the fishing sector. And almost a million euro has been allocated to Donegal County Council for 5 projects under the Shared Island Local Authority Development Fund. Each of the projects sees the local authority work with the council north of the border, 3 of them with Derry City and Strabane, and 2 with Fermanagh and Omagh. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll get more details on this week's budget and what it means for farmers in Donegal. But first, did you know that today is International Day of Awareness of Food Loss and Waste? An estimated 14% of the world's food is lost between harvest and retail, and an estimated 17% is wasted in retail and at consumption level. While Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue says that tackling food waste can have huge benefits for the environment, and he's called on people to think about the food that you waste in your business or in your home. For more tips on this, as consumers and how to reduce food waste, you can go to stopfoodwaste.ie. Well, Donegal IFA branch AGMs are taking place around the county at the moment, and there's been some very good attendances. A joint meeting of the Newton Cunningham, Buncrana, Fawninch and Muff branches took place on the farm of Peter Lynch. Guest speakers on the night were Gary Fisher and Martin McKella from Teagasc and Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue. Members of An Garda Síochána here in the county were there to highlight and assist property marking of items. Well, since Teagasc launched the Dairy Edged podcast in January 2018, Ireland's first dairy-focused podcast has gone from strength to strength, and in July it reached the very significant milestone of 500,000 listens. It's presented by Dr. Emma Louise Coffey from Teagasc and provides farmers' stories and industry insights and analysis to keep listeners up to date with developments in all aspects of dairy farming. Well, this week's budget has prompted plenty of debate. To get an overview of some of the main points, I've been speaking with Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal.
There was very few surprises in the budget. It had been widely leaked, and the reality is that in terms of farming, most of the budgetary measures are directly linked to next year's CAP rollout. It's the pillar two of the CAP, the rural development side of it. That's 60% funded by the National Exchequer, 40% by Brussels. So for acres, we know that there's going to be about 82 million of Exchequer money, somewhere in the region of 150 million of total funding for acres. That only means 30,000 places, and that's been confirmed. It's been widely signaled, but now confirmed, that there'll be only 30,000 places for acres next year. People will be applying in the coming weeks to reach those places, but that will be the only agri-environmental scheme operating next year. GLOS has been rolled over for 2 years in a row now, but its GLOS is now ending. We will have the lowest number of farmers in agri-environmental schemes for a long time, but acres will be there, and it's open, and like I say, about 150 million in place for it. There's also a new suckler scheme, about 28 million in place for it. I suppose the big one was the rebate on electricity cost increase. That was a big issue at the ploughing last week. There was a lot of debate around whether farmers would be in the scheme or not. As it is, farmers will have access to it. It's called a temporary business energy support scheme. And what it will do is it will pay 40% of the increase in your electricity bill for each month of the coming winter compared to the corresponding month last year or the previous year. So it'll be like, you know, October to October or March to March. You have to show that your electricity bill has gone up by more than 50%. This is going to be a big one for, like, if you talk about potato farmers, and there's a lot of those in Donegal, coal stores are very energy hungry, dairy farms. So this is a big deal for them. But it will help every farm. We all have electricity bills in the farmyard, and they will all be defrayed to some degree or another.
Now, looking at, I suppose, some areas maybe a little more specifically, and, you know, we've heard a lot of talk, Pat, about, you know, this push for solar panels on farms. There's no doubt it's going to happen, but just how quickly remains to be seen. Now, there is improved grant rates. So what exactly is happening there?
So there's an increase in the TAMS allocation for next year. The total TAMS allocation is 90 million. We don't have the breakdown or how much will go into each different section of the TAMS. One of the reasons that the allocation has been increased over what was envisaged, it's an extra 10 million. And one of the reasons for that, the specific reason cited for that, is because solar panels are going to be grant aided at a higher rate. It's going to be 60% as opposed to previous 50% and as opposed to 40% for most items. In addition to that, the maximum investment can be 90,000 as opposed to 80,000. There are issues around whether TAMS aided solar panels will be eligible for payment for if they contribute to the grid, if they're net contributors to the grid. At the moment, it seems like that can't happen, and that would be an issue for farmers because there's not much point having a solar panel in your yard if you're not getting revenue from it in the long run. There's also a new BEEF scheme. The current BEEF will be replaced. The scheme is not fully designed yet, but as we understand it, there'll be about 90 euros per cow for the first 10 cows.
Now, the forestry sector has had a troubled time and all the issues with licensing. There is an increased allocation there, but are we any clearer as to how things will actually happen on the ground?
Well, there's a 12% increase in funding. It's up to 112 million now. But the reality is that as things stand, farmers are not biting because of the issues that are there around the licensing of the extraction of timber from plantations. There's been huge work within the department to try and tidy up the process. There's legislative proposals in train that would change how planning is regulated and how objections are managed to try and make the system function, because at the moment it's not functioning.
Now, elsewhere, various farm tax reliefs are being extended. The excise reductions on green diesel has also been extended. Now, slurry storage, there is some good news there in terms of capital allowances.
Yeah, now, just in terms of the excise reductions, they're only extended to the end of February. In terms of concrete, there's good and bad news. So there is an accelerated capital allowance. So you can now, if you spend money on slurry storage, you can write off the concrete costs and the tank costs completely over 2 years. However, there is a 10% concrete tax which is being placed on concrete blocks, but also on ready mix. This is associated with the micro redress scheme. And what farmers are saying, or what they were saying to us on Wednesday and yesterday, is that fair enough, concrete blocks, because the issues were centred around concrete blocks, but as far as they know, and as far as I know, there were very few issues with mass concrete around mica, so why levy it? But there it is anyway. Concrete's been going up over the last few months with an awful lot of other building products, and the sense is that the accelerated capital allowance is there to kind of offset the concrete levy, but that's, like I say, only there for slurry tanks. So if you're doing building work unrelated to slurry storage, you will still pay the concrete levy, but you won't get the capital allowance.
And finally, Pat, of course, there is comprehensive coverage in this week's Irish Farmers Journal. A lot of the measures, I mean, will get us into next year, but there are so many unknowns out there.
They spent a lot of money. This is an 11 billion budget. The majority of it is to help families get through, and there's been a lot of measures. It has the feel almost of an election budget, to be honest. It's also the reality that families are struggling. The cost of living has rocketed. We have inflation like we haven't seen for 20 years or more, and there's huge worries about how people are going to get through the winter and heat their homes, and farm families will benefit from those measures as much as anyone else.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. And finally, some advance notice for you. The Donegal Dexter Group will host its rare breeds show and sale, and that will be held at Rafoe Livestock Mart on Friday, November the 18th. The closing date for entries is October the 16th, and we'll have more on that on a future edition. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 29th of September. The death has taken place of James Mossey, 190 Donibow Road, Bellix, Ahabrach, Dunamana, reposing at his sister Nuala Brown's home at 222 Lisnara Road, Ahabrach, from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Removal from there on Saturday evening at 20 to 8, going to St Mary's Church, Ahabrach. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Donaghadee Parish YouTube channel. The death has occurred of William McGinley, 2 Canal Road, Letterkenny. William's remains will leave Marley's funeral home, Drumminy, Letterkenny, at 5:30 this evening, going to St Eunan's Cathedral for reception prayers at 6 o'clock. Requiem Mass there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Sligo Cemetery. The death has occurred of Morris Manus Sweeney, Sheephaven, College Farm Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Falcarra, reposing at his late residence until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow with Rosary Nightly at 9. Funeral from there on Saturday morning to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed online at churchservices.tv, followed by interment in Conwall Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral on Saturday. The death has taken place of Tony Harkin, Ballinlough, Drumfries. Tony's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, travelling to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Paddy O'Donnell, Drumnaskey, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Francis Russell, Doon Dleeb, New Mills, reposing at the family home with removal from there at 6:30 this evening, arriving at Conwall Parish Church for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 with burial afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Conmac Dáid funeral director. And the death has taken place of Rose Ashpool, née Kennedy, 53 Hollyhill Road, Strabane, formerly of 36 Patrick Street, Strabane. Remains reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, at 10 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the British Heart Foundation, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.